Amen.
Praise God, guys. God is good, right? All the time. Thank you, Music Ministry. That was awesome. Yes. Obviously, I'm not Pastor. Pastor and Carol are on vacation. So if the cameras are working, you could actually wave to them, but I'm not sure the cameras are 100% working. What's up, guys? What's going on? You could preach. That'd be cool, right? Everybody good? Everybody a little bit warmer? It's not frigid out. It's kind of okay. 40 feels like 80 when it's been 10, right? So I just wanted to give you guys a news flash and a heads up that nobody else knows about. I'm going to be here for the next 6 Wednesdays. Starting next Wednesday for the 6 weeks, we're going to be doing a study on the book of James. So we're going to do a 6-week study on the book of James. I love the book of James. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible, jam-packed. It's really Proverbs for the New Testament. Amen. So we're going to do that for 6 weeks. I promise you I'll do everything in my power to get it finished. Jody will tell you I'm kind of about that to make sure we get it finished, or we'll get it finished. Tonight, though, what I wanted to talk about, because I wasn't supposed to do tonight. Pastor Eddie was supposed to do tonight. We were in a meeting on Monday, and we just kind of coordinated and said, hey, look, can you, he asked me if I could do tonight. It was just better for him. And I said, sure. And then after I said, sure, I realized, guess what? I didn't have anything to minister on. But God is cool and God is faithful, right? So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 14. And while you guys do that, we'll pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, that as we sit here tonight plugged into your word, Father, it would facilitate change in our lives, Father. And we thank you for that change, Father. And I just ask that everybody here tonight has supernatural ears to hear your word, a heart that's receptive, and a heart that would allow it, the word of God, to take root, and that we would leave here different, Father, changed and touched by you and your word. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So here's what I want to talk about, and here's the title of my message. And the title of my message is, Do You Want a Piece of Peace? Amen. I think we all want a piece of peace, right? And I'll tell you what kind of stemmed, what kind of got this message off the ground and rolling was Monday morning post that meeting we had. I don't know about you guys, my Monday was a little chaotic. It was a little interesting. I'm going to tell you how this message tonight was birthed. So we had a 10:30 meeting. For those of you who come on Sunday, you all know, because I think you guys all prayed for me, I was seriously under the weather for 3 or 4 days. I was home catching a healing on Sunday, could have pushed myself. Jody was like, don't do it. You got a busy couple of months coming up. And I was like, all right. So I missed Thursday was a snow day. Friday was I missed work day, which I never, ever, ever miss work unless I'm on vacation. She'll tell you. And then, of course, we had the weekend. So I'm behind at work. And pastor says, hey, do me a favor. Let's all meet 10:30 on Monday morning before I go away and have a meeting. And I was like, great. I'm only like 3 days behind at work. That's cool. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And then Pastor Eddie asked me to minister tonight. And then I was like, okay, I don't have a message, but that's cool. God's always faithful. Went to work, had kind of an okay kind of day. Came here Monday night, did Celebrate Freedom. We were working on new music with Annie and Joey and Lisa. And there's that crack we don't want to hear. And it's going to, I rebuke that crack in Jesus' name. It's out. Amen. So got through Celebrate Freedom, working on the new music. I'm doing the men's group, the small meeting for the men's group. My wife calls me. She knows I'm in the small group. She left before me. So, and then when she calls me twice in a row and knows something's wrong, I pick up the phone. You need to come home. There's a broken pipe in the house. I'm like, awesome. That's great. But I was here by myself, and all this was still on. So I had to turn off all this stuff. I'm rushing home. She's calling me. I don't know where the shutoff valve. I found it. It's not working. I was also really hungry. So I'm really hungry. I'm a little stressed out, to be quite honest with you guys. And anybody who tells you that's a Christian or non-Christian tells you they never get stressed. We've got to pray for them because they're just liars, right? And I gobble down some food because I'm hungry. and it's late now. It's like 10 o'clock. We go to bed. We're laying in bed. I got a stomach ache because I ate too fast, probably. And I'm dealing with, you know, the stress of this leak and everything going on. I'm laying in bed. She falls asleep because she's out like a light no matter what happens in life. And I'm laying there, and I'm like, oh. And I finally fall asleep. But it was like one of those doze-offs for like a half hour. I wake back up. My stomach's hurting. And I'm just like, wait a second. Where's the peace I'm supposed to have? Shouldn't matter what just happened. So actually what I did is I rebuked the stomach pain and I started to meditate on the peace of God. And then I had prayed, not probably just prayed and thanked God numerous times during the course of Monday. I need a message for Wednesday. And that's what this message came out of. Amen. So I said that to say and really set up what I wanted to talk about tonight. So if you're in John chapter 14, and this is the New International Version, we're going to start, we're just going to look at verse 26 and 27 to kick this off. So, and again, in NIV. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So I was looking at that verse of Scripture. Lots of things going on in that verse of Scripture, right? Jesus said to us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So not only did he give you his peace, he left it with you. And I was kind of meditating on why, including myself, do we as Christians, and I'm not here to deny circumstances. I believe probably every one of us here tonight is going through something. Now, that could be all different levels of something. Something really awful, really hard to deal with, or just life. Life is hard. Yeah, to get up in the morning and just, you know, what we consider to be a good day is hard. I was thinking about Marcel today because I saw that there was an earthquake in Honduras, right? Is he okay, by the way? He's good. There was like a 7.8 magnitude earthquake. They downgraded, and that's right. He's down in Belize, and it's right by Belize. I saw it. Yep. So I was thinking about Marcel, and I'm like, life throws you curveballs, right? And why? I understand why the world loses their peace. Why do we as Christians so often lose our peace? And again, I'm talking to myself. And I'm not here to deny circumstances. Whatever you're dealing with here tonight is real. You know, we're not here to call things, we're here to call the things that be not as though they are, not things that are as though they are not, right? Things are real. Circumstances are real. Bills to pay are real. Health issues are real. Relationship issues are real. But yet, why do we lose our peace? When Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. So what I really want you guys to do right now, in your own minds, think about what peace means to you. In other words, what I'm really saying is when you, what would be peace? What would be ultimate peace for you? And hold on to that as we go through this message tonight. What would be ultimate peace for you? So getting back to our kind of foundational verse of Scripture here in John chapter 14, that Greek word for peace in this scripture is a word called arana, okay? And here's what it means. It means a state of national tranquility, exemption from rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity. I don't know about you, but that sounds like everything that we would ever need to have that good journey that God promised us. He never promised it would be easy, come for the book of James teachings, right? But he did tell us, I'll give you my peace. And as I was starting to think about that, wait a second here, I'm going through something. We're all going through something. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. And yet we as Christians are just, when a circumstance comes, just like I did on Monday, we flip out. Jesus' peace, he gave it to us, he left it with us, we flip out. Yet that verse of scripture says we'll have a state of national tranquility, exemption from rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, harmony and concord, security, safety, and prosperity. And just so you guys know, it's the identical definition to the Hebrew word shalom. So why do we have issues with having peace? Well, we're going to look at a couple things tonight that hopefully will set your mind thinking a little bit differently about having the peace of God in our lives. And also, he goes on in verse 27 to say that he wouldn't give us peace as the world would give us to us. But I think what we have to look at is, how does the world view peace? What is peace to the world? Now, the things I'm going to go through tonight, not one of them is bad, but it's the seeking of peace in these things that's bad. Number one, the world will say, money and financial prosperity will give me peace. Horse hockey. That's the only thing I can think of. Horse hockey. Right? Because I'll tell you what. Here's my story. Not to pat myself on the back. This is my story. She knew me then. Right? Financially super secure. Years ago, and thinking that money would bring me happiness. Having three cars would bring me happiness. Having a boat would bring me happiness. Having a large home would bring me happiness and peace. And I'd have peace. Man, if I only had $1 million in the bank, man, there'd be peace. No, there isn't. You cannot find peace in these things. Look to Hollywood. Really? Because there's a lot of people that should be peaceful that are killing themselves. Don't tell me they have peace. Right? And these aren't people that necessarily were diagnosed with any mental illness. They were just miserable. Money and financial prosperity will not give you peace. But I'll tell you what, when you have God's kind of peace and you have financial and monetary available to you, you shift your focus on what you're going to spend that money on. And that's, why does that come from? A state of having peace. Not worried that somebody's going to come take it away. You're actually thinking in the opposite direction, that I've got so much, God wants me to give it away. That's peace. The world will find its peace in job titles and positions. When I started in business 27 years ago, it was all about the title that was on your business card, which is a load of garbage. You know, Pastor always says this, it's kind of funny. He says, don't give me somebody with a PhD. As far as I'm concerned, that stands for post hole digger. Our identity, our peace is not tied up in achieving. I hate that thing. Can I do anything with that mic? Should I put it in my front pocket? Just go with it. Yeah. We'll go with it. Our identity and our peace is not tied up in our job title. I know people, and I was like this years ago, that if I get that promotion, if they put me in charge, I'll do it my way, that'll give me peace. Actually, it'll give you misery. Yeah. Being in charge isn't all it is cracked up to be. Trust me, I've been dealing with that for a couple of months. It ain't all that it's cracked up to be. Amen? The accumulation of things. People believe that they will find peace in the accumulation of things. Because I'm a firm believer that peace, joy, happiness go hand in hand. Why is that? Well, they're really fruits of the Spirit, right? But they go hand in hand. So people think that if I accumulate stuff, that'll give me peace and I'll have joy. No way, no how. Right? That's how the world seeks peace. Philanthropy. Generosity. I think Pastor alluded to this a couple weeks ago. Let me give to such and such a charity. And there's nothing wrong with any of this, like I said. but it's not going to give you peace. You know, I don't know somebody like Bill Gates, and I know he gives away a ton of money, but does that give somebody that gives away a ton of money to whatever charity, whatever organization, you know, feed the this and you know, water for these people, and it's all good stuff, but it's not going to give the giver peace. Amen. It's just not. Amen? Amen? You know, basically, we have to look at it from a perspective of when we do those things, when we accumulate money and we accumulate wealth and job titles and we're really, our stuff has us. The things we accumulate have our heart, right? Not the other way around. Now, God doesn't have our heart. And we can't, when we seek this kind of peace in this kind of way, you might feel that peace for a moment, for a second, but I'll guarantee it won't be long before you lose your peace. Amen? So we can't find our peace in the accumulation of stuff and wealth. And like I said, all of it is good. But what I wanted to look at tonight, though, obviously I said all that to look at it from Jesus's perspective, okay? How do we have and maintain the peace that Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you? Number one, we must realize that the peace of God, that the peace that Jesus is talking about in that verse of scripture we read, is a free gift, and we need to reach out and receive it. Amen. It's free. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You are saved. Guess what he did? His peace he gave you, his peace he left with you. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? That word I gave you, that Greek word, arana, that's the same word there, arana. So what I did, because this is cool to do when you get a concordance, take that word, take the definition of that word, and replace the word peace, in this particular case, with the definition of the word itself. And here's how this scripture will read. Who's dealing with something here tonight? Let's be honest. Let's be real. Who's dealing with? You're dealing with something too. We're all dealing with something, right? Now think about that. Think about that thing in your life right now tonight that's trying to steal your peace. Ready as I read this verse of scripture and change it for the definition of the word peace? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a state of national tranquility, exemption from rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, and prosperity with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're dealing with anger issues, you know what? Guys all hear me? Let's do it that way. Seriously? Okay. No chance. Italian doesn't work for an Italian boy. So if you're dealing with financial issues, right? It says right in here, prosperity's covered under the peace, right? If you're dealing with issues between husband and wife, right? It literally says in here, peace between individuals. And if you're dealing with financial issues, like I said, it's in here. Everything's in here. The peace to get through anything you're dealing with is already yours. Amen? Amen? And then I was starting to think about, that's a storm. Whatever your issue, your challenge you're dealing with tonight is a storm in your life, right? And I started to think about, well, what did Jesus do when he was encountered a storm? So let's take a quick look at Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Should be a familiar verse of scripture for all of us. And it says, then he arose, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Guess what? That word peace not the same word. I looked at that and went, that's pretty cool, because I'm going to tell you why it's cool. Lots of things jam-packed in that verse of scripture too. We know the story. The disciples are in a boat. They're on the sea. Violent storm came up. Now, they were fishermen, right? So for them to be afraid on the water, it must have been pretty bad, because I would think they've encountered through their lifetime every type of weather there possibly could have been. Where's Jesus? Sleeping. Because not only did he gave us his peace. Well, that was an example of his peace in action. So, we know what happened. Jesus gets up and he says, peace be still. But then I started to think about, Jesus has felt everything we felt. And do you think at any time in Jesus' time here on earth that he ever had a peace challenge in his life? Absolutely. Think about the garden. And I'm paraphrasing, Lord, I don't want to really do this. You know, I really don't. It's not fun. It's not going to be interesting. It's a good plan you got there, God, but I really don't want to go to the cross. And if you think you could get me out of this, sure would be appreciated. Do you think his peace was challenged? But yet that same peace that he's given us, he had, and he said, hey, not your will, not my will, yours, right? And then I also started to think about that same verse of scripture where how did the disciples that are sitting in the boat with him, when he rebuked it and saw it happen, they were so close to him and they were in such close relationship and fellowship with him that they knew as soon as he spoke, although they saw instantaneous results, that those results would stay. So now I want to get it, now looking at that word, okay? The different Greek word, it's a Greek word called seopao, S-E-O-P-A-O, which means to be silent and hold your peace. So Jesus looks at the storm and says, be silent, shut up, and hold your peace. Meaning, your circumstance that's coming against you, that's trying to take you out, take you under, or whatever, is going to be, you know what? It's your job to do what? Rebuke it. And tell it to hold its peace. Time out, guys.
I feel like I'm at one of those, I was going to say Vegas shows, but they ain't going to find me in Vegas. All right, is that better? All right, good. So, where were we? So, peace be still. We have to rebuke our problems, our issues. But that word, peace be still word, that word for peace means we can hold and have and maintain our peace through what? That storm. Jesus literally told that storm to be silent, hold its peace. And we need to tell our storms of life to be silent, hold our peace, hold its peace, and we need to hold our peace. Amen. You kind of guys get a feel where I'm going with this? Yes. We're getting something out of it?
Amen.
Too often, when a situation arises, we look to the situation and not to our Savior. I don't know about you. I do that way too much. Although I'm starting to, I guess over all these years, finally getting a little bit better at looking to God instantaneously. Because I'll be honest with you, when I left here that Monday night in that story I told, I was driving up Bay Avenue. We're only 7 minutes from here now. And I was praying. You know what? She was having problems. She initially couldn't find the shutoff valve. I'm praying because I don't remember where the heck it is. We haven't been in the house that long. And this house has been put together a little funky. Not exactly the best, you know, rehab job that was done on the house. So I'm like, yeah, there's a valve there, there's a valve there, there's a valve there. I wasn't even really sure where the pipe broke that she was talking about. Thank God it was in the garage. And I was like, okay, Lord, where is it? And probably what? Within a minute of me being home, the water was off. And here's another thing about God. God's so cool that we have a runner in our garage for our dog. So whatever water that actually ran out into the garage got sopped up by the runner, and none of our stuff that was in there got banged up or beat up. So, but again, we have to cultivate a relationship that's so strong with our Lord that anytime a situation arises, we have to live under that peace he's already provided.
Amen.
All right, let's move on a little bit here. So to clarify, that different word, peace, means not only can we have peace in our storms, in our situations, in our lives, but we can hold our peace and get through them. Here's another one. We must renew our minds to the word of God to have peace. How in the world can we ever have peace with God or in God without knowing what God's word says we can be peaceful about?
Amen.
Amen. Pet peeve of mine. I'm going to spend a couple seconds on this. I wasn't planning to, but this is a pet peeve of mine. Ministering for a lot of years here at the Celebrate Recovery and then the Celebrate Freedom Ministry and dealing with men inside that group and you know, women too with me and Jody together at times is it's always boggled my mind that to me, C-Spot run Christianity or Christianity 101 should be spending time in the Word.
Amen.
Number one.
Amen.
Because of a question that I always ask people when they're going through a struggle or they're going through, you know, if it's, let's say, an addiction issue and they've backslidden. And that question is, or they'll come to me, actually, and say, my life's a disaster. And I ask them a question that I know the answer to before I ever ask the question. And it's usually one of two answers. Really? Well, what's going on? Oh, you'll never know what I did. I went back to doing this, and I shouldn't have, and I know. Well, before you went back to it, how much time were you spending in the Word? There's only two answers I ever get. None or not enough? How can we have peace through our situations without knowing what God's Word tells us we can have peace for? The world, in those things that I mentioned, I'm just going to give you a newsflash, whether you'll believe me or not, but I'm just telling you like it is. The world will never have peace. It's only going to get worse. You could pray for world peace, ain't going to happen. Sorry, guys, not happening. Pray for peace in the Middle East, not happening. Pray for peace in North Korea, not happening. But the world won't have peace. That'll put the world in fear. God will put us in perfect peace. But it doesn't work. I was going to pick this up unless you pick this up. Big pet peeve of mine is I see Christians struggling. That shouldn't be struggling. Not just with peace. In all areas. Right? In all the areas that this peace we were told we were left with would cover. And they're struggling. And it's so simple as picking up the Word of God. Read it, apply it. You guys, most of us, how many people this morning here washed your hair? I'm going to say all of you. You don't have to raise your hand. Rinse, repeat. Wash, what is it? Lather, rinse, repeat. It actually says twice. I'm a one washer. But lather, rinse, repeat. We can all do lather, rinse, repeat, but we can't handle read the word, do the word. It's the same thing as lather, rinse, repeat. Is it true, though? It is. It's lather, rinse, repeat. Read the word, do the word. Really? You got financial problems? Read the word, do the word. Lather, rinse, repeat. You got a relationship issue? Lather, rinse, repeat. Read the word, do the word. Lives would be saved, people would be set free if they could spend a half an hour a day in the Word of God. They would be peaceful through everything. And I will not sit here and say that they would never not have a peace challenge. We all do. But we just spend time in the Word. So I said that all to say. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. If you are trying to find your peace in those things I listed earlier, then guess what? You're being conformed to the world. We're in this world, but you're not of this world. Because guess what? That peace of God that surpasses all understanding is supernatural. It's not natural. It's not natural when all your life is in chaos and worlds feel like they're caving in for you to be like, I'm good. Because you sit there and you go, even sometimes I do this to myself, like, how can I feel okay? Life's falling apart. I'm good. Because it's an assurance that God's going to deliver on his word. Your witness comes from. When somebody finally finds out what you guys went through, we've experienced this number of times in our lives, and people will come up to us and be like, did that just happen to you guys for that last 6 months? Yeah. Yeah. And then they're like, we never knew. Good, because that's what I was hoping. You would never know. How did you get through it? Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ. And I get it. I get when peace is challenged to the point of almost wanting to give up. Yeah. Me and Jody went through something a few years back. You don't care if I tell this. I'm going to tell the Cindy Duvall story. Me and Jody went through something some years back. And I'm thinking this is probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was coming to the, this should be in front or the back. Weird. I was coming to the end of alimony from my previous marriage, and it was uncomfortable. I'll leave that at that. What? More than, yeah, take a chiclet. it was more than uncomfortable, and it was putting a huge amount of financial pressure. Because, you know, the option for paying your alimony is the same as child support. It's don't pay, go to jail. So there was always that pressure every month of that's got to get done, and everything else that had to come after the tithe came second. So I guess it's 4 years ago. Time flies. But so we were actually doing the soup kitchen here one Saturday, and Shekinah Glory was in town, and I was tired, man. I was just had that peace challenge. And you know what? When your peace is being challenged, you're exhausted. Yes. It's exhausting, yes. Right? Amen. So we were there. We were absolutely there. And, you know, and a lot of times, I think it's even harder sometimes as Christians when you're doing the right thing. You know, when you're spending time in the Word, you're reading the Word, and you're serving, and then your breakthrough just hasn't happened yet. And you're meditating on Scripture, and when you've done all the stand, and it's not manifesting, and you're feeling just like, poof. Right? And that's where we were at. And probably, no, her too, both of us. I was going to say me more so than you. You think, yeah. And we had gotten done at the soup kitchen, and I'm sure I preached a message that I was probably, like, tired and didn't want to even do, but did. And I said, well, you know, Shekinah Glory's here. She's like, well, you want to come back tonight? And at this one, we were living up in Homedale. So I'm like, and now it's like 3:30, and they're going to be at 7, and we had nowhere to go in between, and I had to go home and shower. I'm like, all right, we'll go home, we'll come back. We come back, and I somehow made it into the back of the service, and very unusual for me to sit in the back of the church, and we were in the other sanctuary, and I was in the back left corner, probably the same corner I got in the first time I ever walked in this church and was miserable. So sitting there, and most of you guys in here seen Shekinah Glory? Yeah. You guys know how they operate. Yeah. You know, it's definitely a Holy Ghost meeting. And I'm just like, just keep them away from me. I'm here to receive something, and I'm telling them to keep something away from me. But that's where that conflict happens, even in your spirit sometimes. Not in your spirit, but when your spirit and your flesh are at conflict, when you're feeling peace challenged and you're tired. And so I'm sitting back there, and it's okay. You know, they're leaving me alone. Cindy hadn't wandered around the sanctuary or anything. And Lois is teaching, the music's good, and I'm still not feeling really anything better. And all of a sudden, Cindy goes, "Oh, get your leaders up here to pray for people." And I'm like, "I ain't saying anything." And Carol goes, "Frank, Jody, come here." I'm like, "Great." So now not only am I like at the end of my rope, I gotta pray for people. Okay, we could do that, right? So we pray for people. Cindy turns around to me and my wife, and she goes, "You too." When we're done praying for people, she goes, "Stay right here." And I'm like, uh-oh. Sure enough, everybody gets done. They get prayed for. She goes, "I want to talk to you too." And she was, and this obviously you guys know she operates under the anointing of God. It's unbelievable. So she starts talking to us. She's got her hand, I think, on my, just like here, talking to Jody, read. It was like she opened up the letter of our life and said, "This is what's going on, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, this is what's going on. You guys are doing everything right. Stand." That was it. Walk it, talk it, and act like you already have it. That's what she was. Walk it, talk it, and act like you already had it. And I was like, whoa. And then when I finally woke up from the floor, so, okay. Things changed. But I said all that to say, we all go through peace challenges. All we have to do, though, is plug in, hang on, and remember God is always faithful to deliver. But it never, ever will happen unless we spend time in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Like I said, Romans tells us that not to be conformed to the world or the world's way of finding peace. But the renewing of our mind in God's Word daily gives us His Amen. Peace that He left, gave to us, and left with us.
Amen.
I'm going to wrap this up literally in 5 minutes. You guys want to come up here, music-wise? Here's the last one of the last two. Recognize that peace is a fruit of the Spirit as we continue to renew our minds.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Think about this. I was thinking about my own life yesterday as I was finishing up this message. What I was thinking about, how angry of a person I was without God. Just angry. You know, that guy who was seeking after all that list that I gave you of the world's way of finding peace was just angry. And I think of that scripture where Paul says, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." That it didn't matter to him. The circumstances didn't matter. Things just happened. It was he's going through his journey in life. Sometimes he had more than enough. Sometimes he didn't have enough or was tight. But what did he always have? Peace. And I was angry, not because I didn't have things. I had things. Those things didn't fulfill me. They didn't fill that God-sized hole in my heart. There was no way to ever have peace. And I thank God for losing things. Because now I have peace that I would have never had before. Amen? And what is that? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruits that cultivate when we spend time in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what I wanted to wrap up with, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. There's no reason to pray for peace. Don't come to me and ask me to pray for peace for you. It's already got it. It's yours. Take it. Reach out and take it. It belongs to you if you're in Christ. Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 6, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, represent your requests to God. And the peace of God, that same word that we started off with, where everything is nothing lacking, nothing broken. Right? Nothing lacking, nothing broken. That type of peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember, peace is a guard for your heart and your mind. Right? Because guess what happens? When you feel peaceful in the storm, the first thing the enemy wants to do is tell you, why do you have peace? Do you see what's going on around you? Peter, walking on the water, had peace when he was focused on who? Christ. Right. Took his eyes off Christ. What did he do? Sink. He looked at his circumstances, not his Savior. Right? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, God tells us exactly what to do. You want peace? Pray with thanksgiving. Believe you receive, and that peace will guard your hearts and minds. And you know what you do to keep and maintain your peace? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of what? Peace will be with you. Read it, do it. Wash, rinse, repeat. You want peace? It's yours. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's yours. It belongs to you. Just reach out and take it. You reached out and took salvation by faith. Reach out and take your peace by faith. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you so much, Father, that you are the God of peace, that you've given us the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that you would guard our hearts and minds in you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that each one of us, as we endeavor to go through life and face challenges and circumstances, as we do, we would look to you and your word first, because your word is a blueprint and a map that contains every direction that we need to go and every answer we need to have. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.